What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Top of the morning to you all. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're all having a glorious day and an amazing start, positive start to this week. How sunny has it been? It's been absolutely amazing. And thank you for joining me again today. Welcome back to What the Health. I'm your host, Gabby Allen. I'm a personal trainer and fitness coach, and each week I'll be joined by a range of guests to talk all things health and wellness, baby. I also get the opportunity to give you advice on how to achieve your health goals too. So if you find us on Instagram at What the Health Show, and you'll see my little face there, drop us a DM with your questions and it could be featured on next week's show. So what do I have for you this week then? Coming up on today's show, we're going to be joined by Austin Farrell, the legend, professional dancer, and Rhianne Stevenson, nutritionist, naturopath, I think I'm saying that right, and founder of Arta. But first up, this week on Mythbusters, we're going to be looking at myths around skincare. So I'm joined now by Dr. Dev Patel. Am I saying that right? Yes.
Yes, you are.
Cosmetic doctor and founder of Cell Derma. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Gabby. Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for coming all the way from Portsmouth. I only came from bloody Balham and I'm rushing. I'm stressing to get here and he's sat there all prim and proper from Portsmouth. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
So, let's get straight into it then. As a cosmetic doctor, what are the biggest issues with the clients that you come across?
Sometimes it's actually emotion-based, not a problem. So they'll say, you know, I just look sad all the time, or tired all the time, or angry all the time, can you help me? But I guess the main areas are the eyes, particularly men actually, the under-eye areas, eye bags, hollows, dark circles. It could be saggy upper eyelids, particularly for women, if their makeup smudging. And then the awful term, but crow's feet lines. So I'd say the eye area, and then the mouth area. So not just the lips, like people perceive, but actually barcode lines, which can happen in smokers and non-smokers, the folds around, you know, the laxity around the mouth. I'd say eyes and mouth. And actually, 90% of our gaze when we look at someone is around the eyes, and 10% is around the mouth. So that kind of makes sense. And the other big thing is skin, you know, which is my main passion. So that could be texture, tone, scarring, pigmentation, lines and wrinkles, sagging. So that, for me, in my clinic in Portsmouth, is a huge thing that we do.
So gravity.
Gravity, exactly.
To put it bluntly, gravity. And the funniest thing that I've Googled today was, why do I have such big eye bags?
Right.
Why is that? I think it's obviously probably due to a lack of sleep, but they're definitely getting worse as I get older.
Yeah, so that's a complex thing. There's lots of factors. It can be skin, so excess skin, losing collagen. It can be fat in there, so the fat pads can slide down. And also fluid. You know, so some people just collect more fluid. Our lymph drainage doesn't work as well as we get older. And sometimes people have procedures which can also exacerbate these issues.
Yes. So I find that it's so true. All my girlfriends, as it were, we're all like, as we're getting older, it is about the eyes, the sagging eyelids.
Absolutely.
So now we're like, how do we lift our eyebrows so that, like, you know, so we don't have to get the eyelids done just yet. So how can we, like, make them better, you know, to spread the rest of the skin out?
Yeah. And, you know, that's a common question. And actually, almost certainly what the person thinks I'm going to do is not what I end up doing.
Really?
Yeah, which is why in my clinic people have to have a 45-minute consultation and they have to come back for treatment, because there's so much in that we have to educate people now, because there is so much information out there, but 95% of it is actually, I think, misinformation.
It's so true, actually, because when I thought, like, so I noticed that I was looking older here, and then I got my DAO done.
Yeah.
So for anyone that doesn't know what that is, it's like your the muscle that's just at the
making it pull down, so when you look glum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it literally took 10 years off me. I was like, I need liposuction in my cheeks. I need all these, like, things done to me. But actually, just that one little bit of Botox in that muscle there, and I'm 10 years younger.
Look at me. There you go, Gabby.
Pulling all the mid-20s, and I'm mid-30. So, okay then. So what are your skincare do's and don'ts?
Okay, so the do's are probably easy. The obvious one, which is using sunblock every day, rain or shine, and not worrying so much about the SPF number, but what's in it is matters. So zinc oxide, minimum 3-4%. That is going to last longer through the day. It's anti-inflammatory as well, and it also protects across almost the whole UVA, UVB spectrum. So sunscreen, you know, I do a whole myth-busting thing on sunscreen, so that's beyond the show, but that's the number one. Number two is to use a vitamin A derivative, so retinol or something better or stronger, unless you're pregnant or breastfeeding, because that helps pretty much every parameter of skin aging. And for me, the big thing is growth factors. You know, that's the key thing that's put Cellderma on the map for people. And growth factors, again, help every single aspect of skin aging and damage, which means that it doesn't matter what you're trying to address, you'll usually see improvements. In terms of don'ts, I'd actually say probably something you're not expecting, which is really don't get misled, don't get sucked in by everything that we hear. I'm seeing bloggers, dermatologists, influencers online not intentionally giving misinformation, but it's just that there's so much in our industry.
I think they are intentionally doing it for really? Engagement. Have you not yeah. seen on this new thing that someone's doing a poo face mask?
Oh God, no!
She's got a peg on her nose,
really,
and it's like scientists are warning TikToker that. And I'm like, what the hell are people doing? So they are doing it intentionally. But anyway, you're a nicer person than me.
And actually, it's, you know, I'm guilty of it. There's things now that I know because of, you know, having this skincare brand and formulation science. But before that, I was saying things that I now know not to be true. You know, there's a well-respected doctor just recently I saw saying, you know, medical grade skincare is different because it can have stronger ingredients and this and that. And I know that disrupting this myth will actually affect my brand in a negative way because we're trying to
You've got the good
apart.
Stuff. Yeah.
But actually, there isn't any regulation that sets those apart. You know, we're all on the same cosmetic register. Mm. And it's whether you as a brand decide to put people first or profit first. And of course, most brands are going to put profit first.
Money, yeah. So Cellderma then, is that what you were talking about, the growth thing? Can you explain that to me?
Yes, so Cellderma is, you know, my brand. That's what started as a hobby. It was meant just for my clinic. And then it's only when we started testing our initial products, we thought, God, these are actually
really good,
getting results. And of course, we've got objective equipment in clinic to measure things like elasticity and pigmentation. It's not just a photograph.
I need to come see you.
Absolutely, you're always welcome. Perfect Skin Solutions. And so growth factors are things we make. When we're in our mother's womb, we get them from our mum. And then as babies, we're making lots of them. Our cells are making them. And that's how we regenerate. You know, I often say if a baby loses the tip of his or her finger, it'll actually regrow. But our finger won't regrow. And so we lose that regenerative ability. And part of it is because of the decline in growth factor production. Yeah. But we now have technology that mimics, ours aren't derived from human or animal tissue, they're actually derived through bioculture, so it's a vegan product. But it molecularly, it's identical to the growth factors you had when you were a baby. And so when you put them on topically, you can actually, the right formula, the right strength, actually create magic. And I kid you not, we have burns patients, we have people with scarring, even old scarring, who overnight...
I've got scar down my back, look.
Well, there you go. We're doing a little mini consult here. Yeah, we can. So even that, you know, I mean, with that, I'd probably be using also some equipment as well. Mm-hmm. But we have people. We had a burns patient recently who in 7 days went from burns that she was told would be scar her for life to completely normal skin. And she happened to use it on a 20-year-old scar. And she said even that's got better.
Oh, my God.
So we're now. But imagine what it does for aging. If that's what it's doing for wound healing. Okay. And that's the thing. So growth factors help wound healing, which means they'll help pretty much anything, but that's just one of our many products, obviously.
That sounds amazing. Sign me up. So I've only actually recently started using retinol, the last like couple of years or something. Yeah. But because I do tend to be in and out of the sun quite a bit, I find it hard to like stay on top of it. But when I am using it, I can see a difference within like a few months. So I feel like that with Cellderma, I'm going to be even younger.
Gabby, even more now, because I'm about to bust another myth for you.
Yes, love this.
Listeners. So that thing about retinol and the stopping sun. With the sun and everything, actually, that is completely unfounded.
What? Okay.
But I just need to put a caveat in here.
Okay.
Retinol and tretinoin and even the strong stuff in that vitamin A family, they all came out in the 1940s. Now, the reason that came about, that advice, is because a lot of the stronger ones can cause a little bit of inflammation and irritation, which makes you more susceptible to the sun. But actually, there are studies over 30 years that show that those who use vitamin A on their skin are actually more protected against the sun. So one of my only two products I take on holiday with me is my
retinol.
Well, it's our Cellderma equivalent, which is Retin-Ace. That uses the fourth generation formula, so not from the 1940s, but a much more modern one. That is much stronger than retinol, much stronger, but actually doesn't cause irritation in 99.9% of people. So actually you can use it all year round. You can even use it around the eyes in most patients. And it just means that people with sensitive skin, rosacea, anyone can have it.
So would you then build up the resilience to it? So if you would, you so for example, would you put your SPF on and then that, or would you put the Selderma on first?
You'd put, yeah, so with any skincare, whether it's my brand, because some of my patients might use some Selderma with another brand, mm-hmm. you know, and it's about finding the right regime for mm-hmm. you. So it's always cleanse, then serum. So all our products actually say serum, so you know. And then you put your cream, if you're using a cream, your sunblock. So retinase, our retinase is a serum, mm-hmm. so that would go on first. We still say use it at night, because that's the best time to use these products.
Yeah.
But it will be working through into the next day anyway.
And is that instead of like your hyaluronic acid and all that?
Well, again, I mean, I would never just buy a hyaluronic acid on its own. Absolutely pointless. It's just another wasted layer.
See, I learned so much from this show because I'm like, what? Yeah, I've literally just been using that.
Most of our, so don't get me wrong, it's a good ingredient. All our creams and most of our serums have hyaluronic acid as their base.
Okay.
So that, but it's not more for hydration, it's because it helps the actives go in deeper.
Okay, fine.
But I wouldn't waste money on buying a standalone hyaluronic just on it by itself.
Yeah,
yeah, because there's no point. There's other better ingredients that can come with it in a product.
Okay, cool. And then speaking of wasting money on things and gravity, you know, things like the guaisha, how do I say it? Guaisha and C. I'm not very,
no, that's fine.
You know, cultured. would you recommend people buying things like this? Like, do you think they work?
I personally don't recommend it, but I'm not totally discounting any of these things. You know, that's part of traditional Chinese medicine, which has been around 3,000 years. Mm. I've used principles from Ayurvedic medicine from India and these things like reflexology and acupuncture. But, you know, we do have to look at the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, some of these things that do work don't have studies. That doesn't mean they don't work. But all I can see that doing is I can see it helping lymphatic drainage and therefore helping toxins flush away, maybe relaxing muscle tension in the face. And so indirectly, the cells probably do benefit. But I've had patients say, oh, yeah, you know, I really think I'm improving my laxity and everything else. So I say, look, if you think it is, crack on. I don't see it doing any harm, but I'm not going to actively...
Laxity being how...
As in, like, how saggy something is.
See, I found that I had one of those face gym... facials and it felt like my face was saggier afterwards because they'd like stretched my skin.
Yeah,
I was like holding it up.
Yeah, I have to say most gadgets and most devices out there for home use are unlikely to do much, because when you look at the technology that goes into, you know, the devices that people have in clinics, you know, and I'm talking the high value devices, I can get equivalents for $10,000 from abroad, but I won't. I'll spend, you know, $200,000 because I know there's a difference in the technology.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of these home things, people do get drawn in.
Yeah. But once again, it's just the power of TikTok,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what? It's been amazing talking to you today, and I need in capital letters some of the Selderma, and I need it. It just sounds like an absolute revolutionary
card.
Product. Yes, please do. Thank you so much for coming in today, Dr. Dev Patel. You've been amazing.
You.
Speak
Thanks
to you
lot,
soon.
Bye bye.
Guys, you need to go on Instagram and follow him, because he said, as you said, there's loads of myth busters around SPF in there too on his Instagram page, and also this Selderma. It sounds like it's an absolute game changer. So moving on to game changers, my exercise of the week. I don't know if you saw on my Instagram, but I have been doing this sumo squat machine. If you don't have a sumo squat machine in your gym, quit. Go find a gym that does have one. Because the difference, to put it this way, if I was doing a regular back squat or a sumo squat, I'd probably be able to do like 50 kg, 40 kg or something. But on the sumo squat machine, I was doing 120, mate. What the actual hell? So you have to add it into your workout this week. My glutes, so basically when you're holding onto the machine, you can like lean back enough that it's like almost, you can use a Smith machine as well, by the way, if you don't have a sumo squat machine, that I will let you do that. That's a compromise. But when you're this sumo squat, like the band goes around your hips and then you can set your feet out nice and wide and you can literally lean back so much because you can hold onto the machine. So it's all about the booty, baby. So yeah, sumo squat machines, get it into your workout this week. I'll see you after the break.
Foo Bar Radio.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
Girls got to choose which guy to bring, or
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they went away from all of the other islanders, and that's where Joey and Grace were hooking up mad. And I've seen the headlines the next day. Apparently, producers had to really cut out loads of their saucy antics.
You reckon the train was going in the tunnel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was no train strike that night.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuckboy, like, lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. Got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
A few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You go there?
Yeah, we're going there. Access all areas, mate.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Have you had any failures with your money?
Spent money on a designer handbag, and literally that designer got cancelled maybe like a week or two after, so it's in my house and I've never worn it out.
That's really sad, but that could be like a unique masterpiece, right? That is one of a kind. They don't make it anymore, so you can...
Oh, no, they still make it, but I just don't... Maybe the time of cancellation is probably past now, but at that time, I remember what I just bought it. I said to my sister, I was like, can I wear this out? She's like, Ola, how are you? No.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
Hello, we are back in business, and in the hot seat today we have my gorgeous friend, Austin Farrell, professional dancer. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I love that it's actually a professional dancer, but you are like so many more things than that now these days.
Everything, apparently.
You're just the social media comedian, to be honest. I literally live for your profile, and so does my mum as well. So, okay, so before, I know you very well, so before we get started, I want everybody else to know you a bit better too. So I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions.
Oh, anxiety, let's go.
Okay. So, three words to describe yourself.
Fun, loud, depressive.
Same. Okay, what is your current mood?
Happy.
Yay, that's good. What is your favourite thing about your job?
People. I'm a people person. I love meeting new people, meeting, seeing old friends, or things like that. You get to see so many incredible people.
You do. You thrive. Just spat everywhere.
Just spit on me. It's fine. I'm into it. It's great.
You thrive when you're like around people. You can see that.
Yeah, I'm an energy person. I like giving a lot of energy out, but I like taking other people's energy as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, what's on your bucket list to do this year?
Date.
Yeah.
I've been so scared of dating.
Yeah.
That I'm just like, oh my God, what about this? Or if I start talking to anyone on an app and then...
I know, but it is like, so much effort though.
It's effort. But do you know what I've got to the point of is my rule is a week rule. I say from first chatting, if we don't meet that week, then you're gone.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm not into this 2 weeks, 3 weeks speaking on social media.
Yeah, no.
So then it goes nowhere. You've wasted my time.
And also, like, so I actually had a similar situation yesterday. Yesterday, look at me.
Two hours ago.
Yeah, and they was like, oh, I can't do this week. I can't do next week, but let's do the week after. And I was like, no. I might have a boyfriend by then. That's 3 weeks' time.
I'm going to be in Vegas getting married.
Literally. I will be impregnated by then. No, I'm joking, guys. Okay, who's your dream collab partner?
Oh, my God. Gosh, honestly, I've said it so many times, Fleur East.
Fleur East, I love her.
Listen, the way I need to bring it to my old street, like if you don't know, I used to do street performances in my old
street.
We're
going to get to that.
Yeah. But I love sax.
Yeah.
I love that that song. And yeah, we've had chats, we're hopefully going to make it happen. But then she got pregnant and had a baby, so I'm like, all right, give her time.
Oh no, she will definitely do that. She's I met up her a couple it, of times as well. She's a legend.
Just got to sort it.
So I was going to say, what's your favourite workout anthem? But would it be sax then?
Do you know what? Eurovision. My friend Joe's gonna laugh about this. There's a song and it's like cha 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 cha, oh, and it sends me wild, and I'm all ah. I don't know what happens to me. But
Austin Farrell, ladies and gentlemen,
Eurovision.
I told you this lunatic is joining me on the show. Okay. So let's get back. Let's get down to business. Then.
Yes.
So talking about this street. So you blew up on social media when you was doing the street workouts in lockdown, right?
Yes.
It was all the Tina Turner stuff, yeah. Kim Kardashian. She reposted it.
I can't believe Tell she us. Did that. She got me like 30,000 followers.
Mate,
on Instagram,
unreal.
Which I find hard nowadays.
Yeah.
But she said, yeah, I dressed up as her. She did Met Gala, mm-hmm. and she was in like, the morph suit and everything like that. And I was like, what the hell is she doing?
Yeah.
So I put on my morph suit, copied it, and then all of a sudden, 1 a.m, I was steaming in Soho, and I checked my phone, and it was like, Kim Kardashian requested a message. I was like, what? And she had posted it. I was like, what the hell?
That is actually crazy, isn't
Mental.
It? But it's so great that you were a professional dancer, because it actually looked good, what you were doing. Because some, like, you Thank know, you. Barry from down the road could have done it and just looked like an absolute weapon. But you actually looked great doing it.
Well, this is the thing. I miss dancing, because obviously it was stripped away from us, mm. and I was trying to learn like TikTok dances, and I was like, this is cringe. Straight away, I was like, this is cringe. And then that's when I started just doing my own thing. I was like, I can actually have fun, but then also use my talent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, to entertain the neighbour. It wasn't for social media. Yes, we recorded it, but it was more for the neighbours and stuff.
Oh, yeah, because the neighbours watched.
Yeah, they sat outside the window. That's so cute.
I know. You've moved from there now, though, haven't you? What's the new street look like?
The ghetto. She's in the ghetto.
I don't believe you.
No, it's not bad, but it's like, I wouldn't be doing performances there.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Got ya. Get it. Okay, so what was the hardest thing then as a dancer, growing up as a male dancer then? So talk us through, like, what happened, like, how did your career progress? Because I did, remember we did that workshop together? When, like, years ago,
oh
for someone's,
God.
Like, dance school. That's the first time I met you.
Italian, no. Where was it?
Something like that. It was anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So tell us about what your career looked like. And
so, I actually used to play football. I was a very lad, you know. I used to play football. My family's all football. My dad, fitness coach for Derby County. My brother used to play for goalkeeping, all that stuff. So I've been around that. And then I actually broke my arm when I used to play for Leicester Scouts. And I had to take 2 more weeks off from football, because the doctor said, and then I get a letter saying, hey, we're dropping you. I was like, oh my God, what the hell? And then
I'm going to dance instead.
Yeah, it's like a step up film, isn't it? I'm going to dance, daddy. I'm going to dance. Like,
what did he say?
He loves it. Oh. He's absolutely loved it. He's like, I don't know where you got your rhythm from, because no one else in my family can dance. Mm. But literally, I went to a nightclub. This is what it was, under 18s, just dancing. And some girl was like,
Liquid.
Liquid. It was Liquid, wasn't it? Yeah.
You used to love them.
Holly Harrod comes up. She's like, you're a good dancer. Come and join our crew. Next thing I'm all, I was like, this is mental.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it just took me there. Like, I'm not the smartest person. I was like, what can I do in my life? I was like, I'm going to stick to dancing and go for it and put my energy into there, you know, so.
And then you did, and then it just continued to grow from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I love that, though. And you say you're not the smartest person, but you've used your talent to do multiple things. Like, look at you now. You're working with Simon Cowell, right?
Yeah.
What's happening?
What the hell?
I don't know. What's going on there?
So he's looking for a new boy band. God, Austin, do not say the wrong thing here. Just.
Oh, sorry. Are you is it embargoed?
No, he's looking for a new boy band, like 18 to 20. The world needs one. It does, doesn't it? Like, One Direction's gone and all that stuff. And yeah, he's on the hunt, and we've seen some really, really good talent. And I'm excited for the next steps, and I'm excited to know I'm excited for everyone to see what.
Are you part of like the team like that's finding them?
So part of the casting team. So we go
that's
there to
so
do the
cool.
shows. It's mental.
Mm.
And he even says he's not used to social media. Mm. And he's like, this is the way forward. And it kind of is, though, isn't it? Like, people are paying for adverts and stuff like that. But when the advertisers are on social media nowadays.
Mm.
So he wants us to interview people, do this and be around it and stuff.
Do you think that, like, you, from growing up and as a dancer and, you know, having your experience, do you find that, like, you can offer your expertise when it comes to how these young people are managed then, you know, when it comes to like mental health and like, you know, and social media, because it is a friggin', it's a world out there.
It's a whole world. I mean, I can't manage my own. Do you know what I mean? If it wasn't for my team, sometimes I have to let out because it's a lot of backlash within it as well, isn't it? Like, and especially these young kids that are coming up for it, they don't know what it's like. We know what it was like to have social media and what it wasn't. But nowadays, like, kids at these auditions, like, there's cameras everywhere. There's everywhere. If you do something wrong, if you crack, you're going viral.
Yeah.
It's a tough world. It's a very tough world for him. Like,
and the pressure to like look a certain way as well.
Yeah. Oh God.
Is that a thing for you?
Oh my God. I hate my body. I still do. I'm trying. This year, I'm really trying.
Okay.
But as a dancer, you go to auditions, and the first round is you go there. All right, tops off, please. So you take your top
still,
off. Standing
are they still allowed to do that?
I've not done it in ages. I don't think so. I think just before COVID, it started to calm down.
Mm.
But yeah, you'd have to just be topless and they're like, sorry, no, you, thank you. And you've just travelled from Leicester, you've travelled from here, you've cancelled the day of work. So you, in your head, you always think, what is my body image?
I think it's like, I'm actually so much more talented than anyone else here, but I might not have the pecs. No, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes you are better than Freddie here down the road, like you said. But yeah, because of your look.
Yeah, but that's one thing that I do think about social media. Like, you are so yourself on there, which I absolutely love. Like, as I said before, I love watching your videos, and I feel like you are very raw and open and honest and on there.
Thank you. Same to you as well.
No one sees the real breakdowns.
You do say it, though. Sometimes, like, dark times, I'll talk about it after. But you do the same. Like, you say, guys, I've not been too well, which is so good, to be honest. Like,
yeah. So. Do you find that that has benefited you as a social media influence? You know, do you think that people relate to you more and, like, do you have better engagement, things like that? Because sometimes I find it harder to talk about things because I think, oh, fucking hell, people don't want to know this stuff. But the thing is, you have such good comedic timing. Like, even though you're like, I want to kill myself today, you're, like, funny about it.
I would try to do this. There's sometimes, and, oh, God, I'm sure some people are going to cuss me out for this, but I feel recently, if I do speak about mental health, people are like, oh, whatever. But I think it's because you've got so many people that set up a phone, put it down, move away and go and cry to their camera. And I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Did you not do that for your breakup?
No.
I didn't do it for mine. Maybe we should do it. Do a joint one.
Let's see. Viral. And I always wanted the comments when I do see it. I'm like, you've set your phone up, ran back, and now you're sat there crying. Like, I just don't agree. I think people are like,
I just couldn't. I just couldn't. It's so, but I mean, each to their own. There is like so many videos like that. At one point, my explore page was full of, like, you know, memes and people crying.
And do you know what else?
Now it's full of fit men.
Straight men with hard-ons working out. Have you not seen this? Oh, have you not seen this?
No.
Maybe it's just my explore page.
But anyway, talk to me about, like, so how do people relate to you on social media before that then? Because obviously people go to watch your videos, you bring great, like, you know, content in that respect, but when it comes to, like, the raw stuff and on your story, I think your story content, how does that come across?
It comes across actually really nice. When I see people in real life, mainly, and it's weird, I don't get a lot of people go, oh, can I get a picture with it? But if they ever do, people are like, oh, thank you. There's the main thing they say is thank you for being so open and thank you for being so honest, because my son is this, or I've got mental health issues. I'm like, it's nice. I love it because I do it. In the past, with my ex, I'm not going to slate him, but with my ex, he stopped me from doing that. He was like, I feel like when you put things on social media, people think it's about us and people think it's about this. And so surely I started coming into myself and I wouldn't be open, and I hated it. I felt like I was losing my own voice, you know? I felt like Ariel from Little Mermaid. I was like, this is awful. So it's nice.
Yeah, I think the thing is that, like, with that stuff, so if you're with somebody, not even just that, like your friends, and, you know, they have to understand that like, you're going to put across as much as you want to as a person. But then if someone can't understand that, then they're just not the right person for you, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you probably was talking about him anyway.
Huh?
You probably was slagging him off anyway.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It is. It is about you.
It is, babe.
No. So talk to me then. What is the goal for... What do you want to achieve out of social media? I know you're doing working with Simon Cowell now, but...
I honestly don't know. I'm a guy that doesn't plan for the future. Mm-hmm. I'm very just... go with the flow, and I do believe something in the universe kind of just guides me, as cringe as that sounds, but I don't know. I don't know what the goal is.
You like to do more dancing though?
Well, I still am dancing, and on the occasion, just not live TV. I can't do that anxiety.
What live TV did you do, like X Factor and all that?
Did X Factor, Britain's Got Talent, Jingle Bell Ball, which is like live streamed stuff, which is a lot, and especially like X Factor and stuff, 2 minutes before you go on stage you get called into the like room, guys, we're going to change this around, we're going to do a new routine, and it's a lot for what you get paid. Yeah. As well, like, you do it because you love it and yeah. You don't want to hate it, and I found myself hating it, so now I'm just pick and choose.
It's the
what
pressure.
I'm do.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you know, so
what advice would you give someone, a young person that was looking to have a career in the dance? No, someone that's like you just said, the love and the passion's there, you know, what would you suggest them to do?
Be stable with a job. So many people love it so much that they lose a lot doing it, like mm-hmm. moving here, being broke, not being able to afford food properly and relying on parents and stuff. Just be smart, still have that passion, do the classes when you can, but also get a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
My side hustle was spin classes. And I love it because I love fitness, you know what I mean? So I was happy in both fields. If I had a week off, I'm going to cover this. And when my life was balanced, as well as my wages, you know.
Yeah, but I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Just do, if you love it, do it. I think that's the thing. But prepare to fail and prepare to keep going.
Because when I graduated from drama school, I actually went travelling for a bit. And then I did a few jobs, and then I went travelling for a bit. And then I came back and I was working in a burger restaurant.
Yeah.
And I was just getting fatter and fatter. But auditioning, but not actually getting anything. Probably because I was getting fatter and fatter. But in the end, I was like, I need to do something that's like actually rewarding.
Yeah.
At the same time as potentially maybe getting a dancing job.
Yeah.
And then that's when I went into my personal training stuff. Yeah. And then when that started to thrive, I was like, I'm actually so much more happier doing that.
And you're than brilliant I am. At it. Like, and you can see that you're enjoying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and right? I was enjoying, and it was so rewarding. Like, you know, I'm like you. Like, I love teaching. I love being around people. Like, that gives me so much energy. Yeah. And in the end, I stopped dancing altogether because I was just like, that brings me so much more joy.
Yeah, which is good. And look how far you've come. Like, with the retreats and stuff like that. Like, oh, was it like Ibiza last year, was it?
Ibiza's in October.
Where was it last
year? Mykonos, the one just gone.
That was it.
Yeah.
And we were trying. I was trying to get out of there. I was like, can it work or not? I was like...
Oh my God, you should come and do a dance class for everyone.
Zumba?
Yeah.
Oh, bah. I'm there, babe. Honestly, I'd love to. But it looks brilliant. And I think we're just, what we were saying, it's like we're people pleasers. And we're energetic. And we like doing that. Especially when it's like beef, that's fantastic. Like.
Okay, so what is the long-term goal when it comes to social media then? Who, apart from Fleur Beast, what else are you going to do? What are you going to surprise us with? Guys, you have to go watch his Olympic thing that I posted on Instagram. You got so much shit for that. 3 million views.
Babe.
Because...
Why does Paris hate me?
Who?
Bonjour, ça va? Yeah. They can't stand me, honestly. The hate that I'm getting. Just to clarify it, right? I don't know what happened in it, right? And it was far too long.
Yeah.
So that's just two truths.
Yeah.
But people are saying you're uneducated, this and that. That's fine. But it still didn't have to be that long.
How long was it?
Too long. It was just too long. It was like 35 minutes for them to put in 5 rings and put them in the air. That was it. Like, no offence to the dancers, no offence to the choreographer and stuff like that. Well, maybe a little bit. But it just didn't move anywhere.
Would you like to choreograph for something like that?
I love choreograph. I choreograph like drag shows and stuff like that. Like, I love doing that.
Maybe that is like what one of your long-term goals should be. Like, to work more and like do more choreography for something big.
I would like to. It, you get it though. It's tough.
Yeah.
There's too many. There's a lot of this and...
You can do it though. I believe in you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in today, babes. You've been amazing. I really do believe in you, as I just said, and I think you have big things coming your way. Just keep being who you are on socials and you will get there.
Thank you.
Thank you, my love.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Love you.
You.
Love you back. So, coming up after this, I will be joined by Rhianne Stevenson, nutritionist, naturopath, and founder of Arta. See you then.
FUBAR Radio.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think you said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
Girls got to choose which guy to bring, or
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they went away from all of the other islanders, and that's where Joey and Grace were hooking up mad. And I've seen the headlines the next day. Apparently, producers had to really cut out loads of their saucy antics.
You reckon the train was going in the tunnel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was no train strike that night.
Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah, strong.
No, that's, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuckboy, like, lad. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing alright. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
There's a few girls in there as well. I've had some free videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You want to go there?
Yeah, we're going there. Access all areas, mate.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Have you had any failures with your money?
Spent money on a designer handbag, and literally that designer got cancelled maybe like a week or two after, so it's in my house and I've never worn it out.
That's really sad, but that could be like a unique masterpiece, right? That is one of a kind. They don't make it anymore, so you can...
Oh, no, they still make it, but I just don't... Maybe the time of cancellation is probably past now, but at that time, I remember what I just bought it. I said to my sister, I was like, can I wear this out? She's like, hola, how are you? No.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Hello, are you there? We are back in business. So, joining me now is Rhianne Stevenson, nutritionist and founder of Arta. Hello, my love. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in. Mm. And thank you so much for these beautiful products that I have in front of me. So,
oh, it's my pleasure.
Let us talk about this Arta.
Yeah.
What is Arta for people that might have not heard of it yet?
Yeah, so Arta is a nutrition and supplement brand. We started about 3 years ago, and we really specialize in metabolic health, so everything to do with energy production and gut health and mood.
Okay, amazing. So we have in front of me now, I have cellular hydration, which is energy recovery and deep hydration. So is that more like the collagen side of things?
No, so that's our electrolyte kind of blend. So it has electrolytes, which are really important for mood, for muscle recovery, for energy. They're important for cognition. We have maca in there, which is an adaptogenic herb that's really great also for hormone health. And we have inulin, which is a prebiotic fiber. So that's also going to nourish the gut microbiome.
Amazing. Yeah. So all about the gut. Yeah. And then we have Enhanced Symbiotic, which she's just been telling me when we were off air, and I was like, let's save it. which is a prebiotic, a probiotic.
And a digestive enzyme blend.
Amazing. Yeah. So that's just like basically your gut health's best friend.
Yeah. I like to think of it as like a multivitamin for your gut. So it has your prebiotics, which are in the form of cranberry and pomegranate, so really high in polyphenols, which are going to nourish the gut bacteria. It has 11 strains of live bacteria, and it has your digestive enzymes that help to break down fat, carbohydrate, protein. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
I just can't wait to get started with this.
That's a good one.
I think, and I also asked you know, when you people start using prebiotics like kefir and things like that, you normally have to build up your tolerance to them. Yeah. But apparently, Rhianna just told me that you don't need to do that. So amazing. I'm going to get going with it right away today.
Yeah, great. I can't wait to hear.
So what are the most common health issues or concerns that you usually face, like, to make you start doing this?
Yeah, like, I think that most people these days who are coming to us are seeking help for energy, for mood, and gut. I think that with just our dietary patterns, how stressed we are, how we live, we really are prone to those digestive imbalances. You know, one in four people have a functional gut issue. So that's really the main thing that people come to see us for.
I find that, you know, I feel like I'm really healthy and I try and like eat as well as possible and I drink all my water and things like that. But sometimes my gut isn't, you know, it's not always 100%.
Yeah.
I suppose everyone's isn't 100%. But I'm trying to like pinpoint certain areas.
Yeah.
But you just said that one in four women have got health problems. Yeah. That's mental
numbers. I know,
numbers.
It's wild. And I think that we don't need to be perfect always, but I think if you're having persistent symptoms that are getting in the way of your lifestyle or how you feel on the day-to-day, that's when you should start to be a little bit more concerned. We'll all have a gut issue if, you know, maybe we overdo it one day or go on a holiday, but it's whether or not they're persistent and they're kind of always when you're a bit like, this shouldn't be here. Like, why is this here?
Yeah.
That's when you want to pay a bit more attention.
Things like when I eat too much bread, we have a gut issue.
Yeah. So like so many people say, oh, I have IBS. So then you kind of investigate it and they're like, yeah, it happens when I eat pizza, when I have alcohol. And you're like, well, that's not really IBS.
Yeah, it's
right?
Probably like, just because you're eating
shit. When you overindulge in things that are like really fatty, fried,
and
alcohol, it's not strange to then have symptoms, right? So that is an IBS.
Yeah.
So I think it's also about just being mindful of your dietary patterns and then what's actually happening from there.
That's actually so true because that happened to me. I don't eat bread at all, really. Yeah. And then I had pizza on Friday and it was not pretty.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. So what role does nutrition play in particular concerning hormonal nutrition play in particularly concerning hormonal health?
Yeah, so hormone health for women is really interesting because our biological landscape changes every week, right? Whereas men are kind of pretty consistent. Nutrition is the foundation of everything. So from the building blocks we need to actually build our hormones to then how we build and maintain our egg and our endometrium, it's really the foundation of everything. So there's that. And then there's also kind of the secondary effects that poor nutrition can have on our hormones. So for example, if we're eating a diet that's really high in processed foods and sugars, that imbalance in insulin and blood sugar does have a knock-on effect on our reproductive hormones. So I think it's really important for women not to differentiate their overall health from their hormonal health because it's one and the same.
Yeah. So do your products help regulate that then?
Yeah.
Are they directed for women?
Yeah. We do have a product called Enhanced for Fertility, which is our advanced prenatal and pregnancy support. But really, you can think of it as like a female-specific multi. So you can take that at any stage. I always think that it's really important for a woman to take care of their menstrual health at any age, whether they know they want to get pregnant or not, right? Because your menstrual health shapes how you feel every month, right?
Yeah.
So just because you don't want to get pregnant, it doesn't mean you don't need to be taking care of your menstrual health. And if you are taking care of it early, then you also can just be kind of reassured that if you do decide in the future that you do want to have kids, you've been taking care of it for longer.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like just like protecting yourself or like almost prepping yourself for when you do want it or, you know.
Yeah.
And it is so true, like regardless of whether it's not just all about babies, it's about like how you feel.
Yeah.
Like your hormonal health. Like I feel like if we talk about this all the time, but now that I have a cycle, I'm a different person at different times of the month.
For sure.
And I'm trying to manage it better. And I am also taking supplements and stuff myself now to help manage it. But it affects you at different times of the month.
Yeah. And if you think of some women are so out of balance that they'll feel unwell for two full weeks of every month. That's half a year. That's half your life, right?
Yeah.
So it's really important to take it seriously and really try to work on it because you can have such a profound effect on your mood, your energy, your sex life, everything. So I think it's just a really core topic.
Speaking of what we just talked about, fertility.
Yeah.
Are there any common myths about fertility that you frequently encounter with your clients? Like, how do you address them with them?
Yeah, so look, I think the Probably the top two are, one is that you can't change your egg quality. You absolutely can. And how we eat will have a profound impact on the quality of our egg. So I think that that's really important.
Do you mean quality of eggs as in like how many we have? Or?
No, so the number of eggs we have is kind of set, and that just goes down as we age. But the quality of those eggs, we can impact with food, with how we manage stress.
How fertile they are. Okay.
Yeah. And then also, I think, so there have been so many fantastic things that have come with the popularization of reproductive technologies. But I think what I'm hearing so often is, oh, I have endometriosis, so they've said I'll have to have IVF, right? So, I mean, I think there's a myth that if you have a problem with your menstrual cycle, or if you have endometriosis or polycystic ovarian syndrome, that you're going to automatically have to go down that IVF route. And I think that's pretty intimidating and hard for a lot of women to hear, because they often hear that at a very young age.
Yeah.
And there are so many things that you can do, again, with your diet, with your lifestyle, with exercise, with alcohol, that can help to impact your hormone health. And so I think it's about staying empowered and really trying to work on that stuff as much as you can naturally.
I've heard that so many times, you know, from people that have polycystic ovaries or like endometriosis, and they automatically are just told it's almost like the easy way out. For like, I don't want to point fingers, but sometimes they don't, investigate enough to be able to see what the actual, like, you know, fundamental issues are. And there's a girl that I actually follow on Instagram. She's called Endospectrum. Yeah. And she has changed her whole life around. She's had multiple operations. And it all comes down to nutrition.
Yeah.
And it's actually crazy.
Yeah.
How she's changed it from what she consumes on how her endometriosis affects her life.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, like, when you're diagnosed early, which is uncommon, right? Because you're usually it usually takes about 7 to 8 years to actually be diagnosed, which is another story. But when you're diagnosed young, you're kind of sent home with painkillers and been like, okay, well, when you want to get pregnant, we'll talk about IVF. And so you don't understand the power that you have to influence your health and your fertility. I'm not saying it's not more challenging when you do have those. It is. But it's not something that you automatically have to revert to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of the eggs disappearing, I'm like, shit, I need to think about this.
I know.
How does age affect your fertility? So you can have all these like glorious, beautiful eggs that you're looking after, but then if we're getting on, the bloody clock's ticking.
Yeah.
What steps can you take? Still, I mean, you're only as young as we are in this very moment right now.
Cellular age is more important than chronological age.
You love that.
Yeah.
And Botox. but how can younger women support their reproductive health later in life?
Yes, I think it's also important not to scaremonger people into thinking like, oh my God, I'm 34 now, it's all over. So our fertility does naturally go down with age. So making sure that we're protecting our egg quality as much as possible, again, back to that core nutrition for as long as possible, is really important. If you are wanting to get pregnant a bit later in life, like I did, so I was 37 when I had my first baby, I was 39 when I had my second, so I was classed the geriatric pregnancy, which was hugely offensive, but still.
You literally look like so much younger than that, so I'm like boggled.
It's the Botox again. So I think it's important then to take those steps to be a little bit more mindful about that. So there are great things like CoQ10 and acetylcysteine, so all of those kind of like ovulatory antioxidants, which are in our enhanced fertility. It's managing stress. It's managing alcohol.
I need to make a list of all these things.
I'll send you a list. It's
okay,
fine.
Thanks.
So really, again, taking the holistic view of, okay, it's not just what I eat. It's also what I drink. It's how I manage my stress. It's how I move. So really, it doesn't change. All the things that you kind of need to do to stay healthy overall will help you stay as fertile as possible. And then as you age,
as possible. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. And then as you age, I think it's just a little bit more important to be mindful of things like alcohol and stress, and then supplementing with the right things that are really going to help to work on egg quality.
Oh God, it is so hard, I think, these days, because especially in this day and age, you know, I'm 32 and I'm, well, I don't have a fella. Yeah. But also, like, I'm just not there yet. I'm not ready for kids. Yeah. And maybe that will be a quick turnaround, like, in a year or two or something like that, depending on what happens in my life.
Yeah.
But it's mad because, like, you know, the clock is ticking. Yeah. But I'm not ready. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, look, it's super hard because I don't want to sit here and say, women can do it. We can do it all at any age because it does get harder, right?
Yeah.
But also... it's important to understand that, like, you can still do it. It just takes a little bit more thought.
Yeah.
And I was someone who, I was the same. So in my early 30s, I was running a business. I was like, I'm not even close. And then I got pregnant by accident when I was 36. And then I had a miscarriage. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, Maybe I am already. And then my doctor was like, so what are you going to do? You're 36. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, are you going to go to IVF? And I was like, what? And all of a sudden, like, as soon as he said that, I started panicking. I was like, oh my God, I am old. I am. And then I did end up having 5 miscarriages. So it's challenging. So, like, you have to balance your...
Obviously, there's more risk the longer you leave it.
Yeah. But also, my lifestyle was not set up. Even though I know all the nutrition stuff, I was super high stressed. I drank more than you should for someone trying to really work on their fertility, which is not a lot. I did excessive amounts of cardio. I love training. Like, I would train like multiple times a day. So, I mean, all of that stuff.
Sounds like me.
I had to tweak. Yeah, but I
all
had
of
to
it
tweak
sounds
it.
Like me.
Yeah. And I did too, right? So I had to tweak that all to, like, get into that headspace of, okay, I need to nourish my body. It's not just about going as hard as you can all the time, which is what I kind of tended to do back then.
I'm going to take note of that. When I'm ready, maybe in a couple of years, maybe then I'll slow down.
Well,
but right
start
now...
taking a multi-nutrient now just to protect, right? Mm. And then as you... come to that age where you're feeling like you're more prepared, then you can start to rein some other things in. But I think alcohol is a really interesting one for women because women are more susceptible to harmful effects of alcohol than men are. But it's not really talked about, right? The guidelines from the NHS for men and women are exactly the same. It's up to 14 units a week. But when you go to, like, female-specific sites, they all say, like, even one extra drink
I'm literally going to message you and be like, can you just give me all this information? Because yes, I feel I like you're just a wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Cool.
And I can't wait to try your products.
Great. Thank
Everyone
you.
Check out Arta. It's ArtaH. Thanks, babe. I'll speak to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Amazing. So you've literally all heard about my personal life here, talking about all my female issues. Well, they're not issues just yet. But we are going to move on to your questions now, guys. So if you want to get involved, by the way, you can DM us on at What The Health Show on Instagram. I did say this earlier, but just send them over to us and hopefully I can get to them next week. Just make them good. Make them spicy. Give me something to, you know, research. So, Danica asks, how should I progress towards running? I always feel so tired. Should I walk long distances for a while and then try to include jogging short distances? What should I do? So, first of all, I think... maybe look at the time of the day that you are running. Or do you mean that you are tired in general or that running tires you out? Because obviously, if you are new to running, then it might just be a bit of a shock to the system and you are going to have to build up that endurance and, you know, that CO2 capacity. We all have to do it. And it also is about mental resilience as well, like really pushing yourself and knowing, you know, your mind gives up before your body does. So sometimes you might be able to go a little bit further, but also... maybe you do need to stop. So just like the differentiation between knowing when enough's enough and when you need to slow down. But what I would recommend is starting with intervals to start off with. So if you are a true beginner, maybe try going 30 seconds on a run. Like, you know, just speeding up a little bit. If you've got an Apple Watch, check, get your BPM up to like maybe a 130, 140, and then drop it down for, and then walk for 1 minute, walk for 2 minutes, let it come right back down to resting heart rate, and then go again and do intervals like that. And then you might see that over amount of time, they start to get a little bit easier. And I would also recommend downloading some sort of running app. You know, you can do the Couch to 5K. There's lots of other running apps out there. Like, everybody's bloody running these days. So have a little look at them and see what is going to help benefit you to get those steps in, girl. Because because if you want to get into running, there's no reason why you can't be. And I think that you will notice improvement quite quickly. You just have to be consistent with it. That's what my brother always tells me, be consistent. Okay, and then next question is, Lou asks, why do people track their macros and should I be doing it? So for anyone that doesn't know what macros are, macros refers to proteins, fats and carbohydrates, so the big things on your plate. Counting macros can help someone make sure that you are eating the right ratio of nutrients and maintain a moderate weight. So they're essential, the proteins, the fats and the carbs, they're essential just for your body ticking over, right, for just normally functioning. But then you have the micronutrients as well, so you have those little ones that you get in all your fruit and veg and things like that. They're all the vitamins and minerals that you need outside of the macros. But when it comes to macros, predominantly people count them, as I just said, to manage their weight in some respect. So if you are trying to gain weight, then you will up probably the amount of carbohydrates they have. You will be on the higher end of what protein intake you should be having. Normally when you up your carbohydrates, you probably keep your fats down, or vice versa, but always go to a nutritionist to, you know, recommend you with that. First and foremost, macros always comes down to what you're doing in the gym. What is it you're trying to achieve? And what I will say is, don't focus on it too much. Just get your healthy, balanced diet in and train well and you should be all good. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show, guys. What a good one. I hope you enjoyed it. It was an absolute pleasure to be here with you today. Make sure you join us next week again at 11 a.m. for What the Health, and find us on Instagram too. Give us a little follow and I'll see you there. Lots of love. Goodbye.